Okay. And I think I'm live. I'm not sure. Doesn't matter. I'm Mike McCafferty, and I'm recording my podcast here. This is the 200th podcast of I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek. It is momentous that I am broadcasting live on Facebook for no one, which is okay. It is momentous that it's the 200th, unlike the 100th, where I was at a water reclamation plant and then at a golf course in a really hot room that they stuck us in that had no air conditioning. Instead, I'm in my bedroom. This is exactly where I should be. And it's momentous, too, because I want to talk to you about Star Trek here on the 200th. I've been pushing off talking about Star Trek for a while. I've been pushing off trying to come up with something more like momentous, wonderful, something better than the 100th or the 150th or when it was like the 50th anniversary. We all gathered on Vasquez Rocks. I wanted to do something, so I sat on it. And I also had this other idea. It's like, well, maybe I'll just do Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan and finish up and then just call it quits for I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek. Because, friends, listeners, watchers, the watchers, oh my gosh, I was beaten down. I have felt so despondent about Star Trek. I have felt so without hope, without reason to continue on. And the reason is because I was watching Star Trek. And I haven't liked watching Star Trek. Isn't that an amazing thing? Isn't it an amazing thing to watch me go through almost 6 years now, 6 years beyond the 5-year mission, beyond all of this, and get to a point where I didn't want to talk about Star Trek. I was getting into this point where I felt less and less involved, invested in Star Trek and what Star Trek could be. And more interested in just, why don't I just talk about old Star Trek? Why don't I just become the chronicler, Mr. Atoz? Why don't I just collect things, collect my ideas and thoughts about the original series, Next Generation, and Deep Space Nine, and Voyager, and hey, man, Enterprise is actually getting pretty good, man. Now it's almost like you go back, it's like, huh, maybe that wasn't so bad. Maybe Enterprise was good. And the reason, the unfortunate reason, was because I was not enjoying Star Trek. I have not been enjoying Star Trek. I'm going to say it. I haven't been enjoying Star Trek. I tried with Discovery. We know that. Third season, second season, first season. I mean, they got, I guess, somewhat better. But every time, they broke my heart because it was just such bad storytelling. Friend of the pod, John Stern, advocated that I watched fourth season. I got a half episode into it. One half of an episode. And then couldn't do it. He kept on updating. Kept on saying, Mike, you've got to watch this. I want to talk about it. I want to talk about this. I want to talk about Star Trek. And here I am, Mike McCafferty, who does not want to talk about Star Trek. Outrageous. Indefensible. And yet I didn't. I did not want to talk about Star Trek. And then Picard came, season 2. And you know what? First couple episodes filled with promise. I liked them. I enjoyed the first 2 episodes. You know what I mean? They seemed like they were kind of getting back on track. Akiva Goldsman, I believe, was kind of helping. I don't know what happened to Michael Chabon. Maybe they just kind of like relegated him someplace else. Maybe they just, you know, sent him to the corn. Wished him to the corn. Bill Mumy. Twilight Zone. But the first 2 episodes had promise. Here we had a Picard who was sort of like dealing with his frustrations, his remorse, both about his mother and also about the fact he's never been with anyone, and then that Romulan girl who was his assistant, and then assistant with her husband, and then he suddenly dies. Now there's a relationship. Well, okay, I can look past that because at least we had a semblance of Picard, sort of an inkling of what Picard could be. And then it kept on going. Well, the second episode, not bad. And again, this Sunday, myself and Ryan and George and maybe more, maybe everyone. We'll try to put it up here on the Facebook page, like a live teardown of Star Trek Picard, because that show just went off the rails so hard. That show just, it got stuck. It got so stuck in the 21st century, in 2024. Who knew the 2024 would be so deadly to story? Not plot. Plot ran all over the place, but story. And so I sat there, and I was so despondent and so upset with Star Trek in general. You know, I went to the Star Trek pop-up bar with John. We went there. We should talk about it. I should have John on, and we should talk about it with George and Ryan. We're going to do Sunday. This Sunday, I'll pick a time. Don't worry about it. But I just couldn't do it. I just could not do it. And I was pretty much out. I had finished up the last episode of Picard. I'd gotten through it. John told me, you got to watch it. So I finally watched it. And I just, even my son couldn't finish it. I said, buddy, I went through without you. He says, that's fine. Yeah, I don't want to watch it. So here we are. So why am I here? Why am I here after all of this for the 200th episode? What? This is too loud. What am I doing back here? I'm going to try and turn this mic around a little bit. What am I doing back here in the 200th? Just to browbeat this franchise? Just to kick it while it's down? I was thinking about it. I was thinking about going back to talking about Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan, you know, unearthing old nuggets about a movie that's, you know, over 35 years old. And then I started hearing some strange inklings on the internet. People talking about Star Trek Strange New Worlds. Now, I you know that I'm a big fan of Anson Mount, Captain Pike, and Star Trek Strange New Worlds. Spoiler, he's in this movie right here for a half second. But I was like, I remember in Discovery Season 2, those couple of scenes, and we talked about this. We talked about this on the podcast, how, yes, that's what I want. I don't care who it is. I don't care, you know, it can be a balloon with a happy face on it, but as long as it's a strong captain, which is what Discovery has so painfully lacked, and Picard to a degree has also lacked too, because Patrick Stewart has not stepped in that mantle. He stepped into the first couple episodes and then was gone, and then all of a sudden we've got Borg Queens, and we're running with the shadows. It's just a madhouse of bad ideas. And Akiva Goldsman is writing this season of Star Trek Strange New Worlds, so I had my doubts. But then I watched it on, was it Mother's Day? Yeah, it was Mother's Day. Weird time to watch a Star Trek show, but, you know, we were all eating. And I said, honey, can we watch this? And Kiernan was there, and she said yes, and so we started watching it. And I loved it. I unabashedly love it. I'm going to tell you right now, there are things, I don't think you've ever heard this from me before. In the 6 years and 30 episodes I've reviewed of new Star Trek, I have never said I loved a show as much as I loved this episode, this pilot episode of Strange New Worlds. You can quote me on that. I loved it. In fact, by the end of it, there were tears in my eyes. I'm going to say it. And my son, too, got teared up. And everyone that I talked to, Matt Stompy Thompson and Ryan and George, they all like it. Now, maybe we're just cynical bastards and this is like an old person television show. Or maybe the things that we're missing from it, as Akiva Goldsman said, I believe he said to the Star Trek executives, I want to do something sort of revolutionary and make Star Trek like they used to make Star Trek. And so with that, I want to show you just a couple of clips here of one of the reasons I like it. Now, you might think it's these couple things right here. Let's see if this actually plays here. I'm going to hit play. Okay, so I don't believe it looks like Paramount Plus is blocking my ability to play this, but that's okay.
That's okay, because you can just listen to it. So in this scene, it's Pike. He's in his Montana ranch. And it's actually somewhere out in Toronto, and I believe that's also where they shot The Expanse as well. But he's in the Montana ranch, and he's watching with his girlfriend the day the earth stood still. All right, let's play that clip. Let's play what they're talking about there, because this calls back wonderfully to what the show is about, to what this episode is about. And you may think this is actually one of the reasons why I like it, because they go back to old school The Day the Earth Stood Still. One of my favorite sci-fi films. If you have not watched The Day the Earth Stood Still, thank goodness that this has now become canon of the Star Trek universe. That this movie, directed by Robert Wise, of Star Trek fame, you know, Star Trek the movie, the motion picture, Michael Rennie right there, great film, and great, it's so simple, and so perfect, and so beautiful. But this is Klaatu as he is dispensing this wisdom upon the people of Earth. He came here to deliver a message to them. And this is the message he says at the very end.
Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration. We shall be waiting for your answer. The decision rests with you.
So for the context of it, if you haven't watched this, and again, if you stop and skip over this little part here, but that's okay, I don't care. It's been over 70 years. You have to watch it by now. Is that Klaatu shows up, and don't watch the 2008 version. I mean, I don't know. Keanu Reeves is a great, great guy, but I don't think he's good for this. He shows up and he says, listen, you guys can do whatever you want to each other, but if you roll into town, into Space Town, we'll deal with you. And the choice is yours. And this is echoed at the end of this episode. Let me pull this up here. Right around here.
Understand what he meant. Until now. I've seen my future. Let me show you yours. Our conflict also started with a fight for freedoms. We called it the Second Civil War, then the Eugenics War, and finally, just World War III. This was our last day. The day that Earth we knew ceased to exist. It began as an eruption in one nation, ended in the eradication of 600,000 species of animals and plants, and 30% of Earth's population.
What we gave. All right, actually, I'm going to skip over some of this, because this is the part I actually want to hear.
Hands are written as indelibly as mine, but I choose to believe that your destinies are still your own.
Maybe that's why I'm here.
To remind you
of the power of possibility. Maybe that's the good in seeing my future, that I might remind you that right up until the very end, life is to be born gloriously.
Because till our last moment,
the future is what we make it. So.
I do want to point out that also reminds me, no fate but what we make, sort of a Terminator kind of thing. I'm going to stop here as well. I'm trying to avoid the copyright flags as well here. So I think somehow the algorithms pick up this audio cues and say, uh-oh, you're stealing that. Really, this is all fair use. This is all fair use. No one's gonna get my back on that, but then I have to kind of challenge it, and then like some human has to watch and says, yes, this is all rhetorical commentary on all sorts of stuff. The echo of this, in addition to the fact that he is basically parroting a lot of The Day the Earth Stood Still, is also what's going on in the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still, if you've actually watched it through, which is that Michael Rennie's character Klaatu has been fatally injured, and he is going to die in a little bit. He's going to get basically in a spaceship, fly away, and die. Because like, even though they revive him for a little bit, he has a little bit of time, so he dispenses this message. And so here we have Christopher Pike knowing of his fate. He's not going to die. He's going to be in like a wheelchair, basically. And he is accepting his fate. Now, why do I like this part so much? Why am I such a fan of the fact that he's resolving this issue? so quickly? Because in these other series, these characters, and who knows, maybe he'll carry it on for the next 10 episodes or next 10 years. I'll be like, whoops, I was wrong about that. But I really hope he can move on from this. Because I don't need to see all of that strum and drong, all that hand-wringing over his fate over and over again that we've seen in Picard, that we see in Discovery, of these characters who are so maudlin, so despondent over their lives. Let's move on.
Go to war with each other. Or join our Federation of Planets.
And reach for the stars.
The choice is yours.
Even with that, even that little clip, it already starts getting a little bit teared up. I mean, that's a beautiful speech, very inspirational, aspirational. And you might think, oh, that's why Mike likes this show now, because we've got dudes giving speeches. No. No, I say. Even though it is wonderful. It's wonderful, and it does get me teared up, and the idea of possibilities and reach for the stars. But we've heard that before. We've heard those speeches. Michael Burnham, Jean-Luc Picard, in Discovery and in Picard. Now, you've got to give me a little bit of time here. I still have to catch up to Lower Decks, and I still have to watch more Prodigy. And I'm sure there's, you know, one's a comedy, one's a more geared for kids. So I'm dealing with the big boy shows here right now. But this speech, as wonderful as it is not the thing that truly got me. That truly got me involved and invested again in Star Trek. And it might surprise you what it is. Well, maybe it's not. But I talked to a couple of my friends, and they agreed that this was a momentous section here. It is right here. Right here.
It would seem there are two warring factions, and their conflict has escalated to a crisis point.
Talking about the planet.
Certain scans of the planet are consistent with pre-warp society.
How is that possible?
As you know, the Vulcans invented first contact.
Hey, what's going on with his hair? Look at how unkempt his hair is. Someone needs to get a brush on that. That's Ethan Peck, who is Gregory Peck's grandson. They get a brush on that hair.
As they never fail to remind us.
The world's in this sector with war. All have or are in process of being inducted into the Federation. We are free to travel to any of them. General Order 1 does not apply. Not on one of these worlds. In fact, not once the entire history of first contact has warp been first developed as anything but a drive. Put another way, the nuclear bomb could have been invented before particle physics. It simply never has been.
Would number one have known that the warp signature was that of a weapon?
Possibly not. Our scanners were just updated in space dock.
If those missiles are the best they've got, let's beam down, find our people, and bring them home.
We have to consider the possibility that this technology isn't native. However they got it. If they found it in a crashed alien spacecraft, if it was placed in their hands...
General Order 1 applies.
We cannot interfere with the natural development. We cannot show ourselves the risk...
But they've already seen us.
We cannot risk the possibility.
Well, so we just leave our people there?
Hardly. Let's go see the doctor.
Why do I love that scene? Why am I so happy about that? Why is that scene, the scene I pick above these great speeches, which are echoes from 70 years ago, and are about aspirations, reaching for the stars, being better? One of the things that has been very problematic in the new Star Trek is people running around, shooting things, reconfiguring things without stopping to think and talk about it. And here's a show which takes a moment to say, hey, there's a problem on this planet. Let's go, let's take a beat, and let's debate about what we should do. And let the captain decide. Now, there may be some of that in Discovery. I don't know. I don't think there's anything in Picard. If there is, then I certainly have missed it. But those moments... Especially in TNG, when they contemplate contemplatively I can't even conjugate that. When they contemplate these things, when they sit around, and Picard would sit there and say, suggestions. Well, we could try this. Well, if we do this, this could happen. Well, I don't know about this. And he hears all of his staff debate about what to do, and then he says, we're going to do this. And then they try it, and maybe it works, and maybe it makes things worse, or maybe it makes things better, but creates a new problem. And then they talk about that. Smart people sitting around having discussions is appealing. It's what Star Trek is about. Let me show you one last thing here. It's the very next scene.
Doc, please dispense some wisdom.
Okay. Never get the house dressing.
Good to see ya. Dr. Mbenga toured the Mojave with me, and I toured Kimi with him.
That's the Spock.
Dr. Mbenga, as we saw in A Private Little War, kind of the backup Dr. McCoy. He will be in TOS. Now, why am I happy about that? Because they're name dropping that because they're bringing a new character. Oh, we've also got.
It's pleasure to see you again.
Of course, you're to certify for duty.
I received your orders, Captain. This is Nurse Chapel. Nurse Chapel is on civilian exchange from the Stanford Morehouse of the Genetic Project.
Sounds like you're just the person for the job.
What job? I'm gonna mess with your genome.
Why do I like this scene as well? Why do I like a lot of these scenes? The reason is a little more... No, it's simple. These people like working with each other. These people like working in space. Too many times in the past shows I've seen, space is a deadly, dangerous place filled with all sorts of mishap and mysteries. And people who don't like each other, and people who are arguing and having long-term issues with each other. And it's not a fun work environment. I like it when people like working with each other. Now, at Deep Space Nine, they kind of didn't like working with each other at the start, but then they got along, so it got more fun. Voyager, they start not liking each other, but they're all good friends. Enterprise, they're all good friends. I like it when there's a workplace environment where people want to go. It's like Cheers, where everyone knows your name. Everyone knows Mbenga. Yeah, he's a great guy. And Pike is happy to see him. And they're happy to be on the ship. And they're happy because they're out in outer space, going on strange new adventures to strange new worlds. That's what Star Trek's about. Just going out and exploring and discovering and having fun. And enjoying the company of the people you go with. Because if you don't like it, don't go. Get off. Get off of the next planet. All right. Again, this is sort of a little bit of a wonky, kind of from-the-hip kind of episode here. But the next episode just came out. We're going to watch it. I'm probably going to watch it with my kid in the next couple days. Watch The Day the Earth Stood Still. Go watch that if you get a chance. If you get a chance to watch Strange New Worlds, you know, Paramount Plus, I don't know what to make of it, you know, it's where all the Star Trek's going to live. And boy, they broke my heart 8 different times. The first two I liked, the next 8, it just sunk me. It sunk me. Maybe I would never have come back to the podcast. Maybe I didn't think that Star Trek was for me anymore. To stop at 199 episodes. To just give up. Because I thought maybe they gave up. Either on themselves, or on me, or on both. But then, I watched this, which is fitting. Because Strange New Worlds is where we started. Captain Christopher Pike. Back so many years ago. 50 plus years ago. 55 years ago now. Almost 56, where it all started. And so maybe I've refound this passion. Maybe they've found their way. Who knows? But at least with episodics, and I know that's what I hear, that they're doing episodics, you don't have to owe a giant story about red angels or dilithium crystals or Borg queens and Q needing Guinan to open up a magic genie bottle. Ugh! We don't need that. We just need to tell stories. And if they end at the end of the episode, that's okay. Because that's how it started. All right. This Sunday, hopefully, we'll be broadcasting live here on the Facebook page. Who knows? Maybe on YouTube as well, if I can figure it out. But for this, perhaps Phoenix-like rebirth, thank you for joining me. Thank you for joining this mission. I don't know, maybe I'll have made it from episode one. Yeah, maybe I'll have Jason. See, Jason and Kim, they haven't watched Picard. Everyone's fallen off. They've all fallen away. Jason didn't want to watch in the first place. But you're here. And for that, I'm grateful. I'm Mike McCafferty, and I closed off the music. And I just want to talk about Star Trek. How do I turn this off? Stop streaming?